Vampire Claws by Robert Winter.
3. Trailing behind Paul, Taviano began to wonder why he was there. Serving as protector and porter to a would-be Christmas elf, it seemed ridiculous. Yet Paul radiated happiness as he told random stories about diner patrons he'd asked for money. Taviano hadn't experienced that in a very long time. There were certainly worse ways to spend a Christmas Eve. As his demon remained calm and apparently disinterested, Paul seemed to be in no danger. Taviano found himself smiling and loose-limbed, and so he chose to see how matters progressed. They walked along Charter Street to an increasingly shabby neighborhood. Paul steered over and around, snow piled into mounds of ice mixed with dirt. The bags of gifts were light in Taviano's arms as he focused on the luminous man. Chattering and gossiping, Paul led them away from the lights and noise of busy Boston streets. Eventually, they turned down a dark road littered with empty cans and trash bags. Paul stopped at a heavy metal door situated in a brick wall. The setting was barren. Taviano couldn't imagine someone living there. He wondered amusedly if Paul actually planned to mug him. Paul pulled a set of keys out of his pocket and stuck one into the big lock set in the metal door. From the dents and scuffs around the handle, it was obvious more than one person had tried to break in. Taviano couldn't fathom why. When Paul finally pulled the heavy door open and entered the building, Taviano was moderately curious. Would the magic that protected a home from his kind prevent him from following? He stepped gingerly over the threshold. No, that was easy. Apparently, many people traveled in and out of the common spaces of the building. No one could claim it as a personal sanctuary. Paul's apartment would likely be the barrier, though. They climbed 3 flights of stairs to a door marked with a 4 in spray paint. Paul fumbled with his keys before unlocking the deadbolt and handle. He pushed the door open and went through, calling behind him, "Put the bags anywhere." Taviano stopped in the hallway. His toes brushed rubber molding that separated the concrete floor from the linoleum of Paul's apartment. To his vampire eyes, it appeared as if a thick pane of glass covered the doorway. From years of testing when he was newly dead, he knew he lacked the power to force his way through the barrier. Bronislav had warned him about the barrier magic and the many other prohibitions. After a handful of years, though, he dared to rebel and try to enter a few homes uninvited. Always he failed. Once he even let the blood beast out entirely to see if it could break through. That had proved to be a costly mistake, and still he failed to get inside by force. Taviano said, "I'll wait out here." Paul paused in the middle of yanking off his damaged sweater, his head and arms all in a tangle. "Dude, please, come in!" And like that, the barrier dissolved. Whatever its source, simple words of uncoerced invitation were enough to send it back to the ether from which it sprang. The casualness of Paul in welcoming a predator, a killer, into his home warmed Taviano's heart. Paul had seen a fraction of what he could do. Even if he didn't guess the extent of his risk, he had to know at some level that Taviano was dangerous, yet he didn't hesitate to open his home. So naive, so sweet. Taviano grinned as he stepped over the threshold and tested out the jargon he'd collected from Paul. Whatever, dude. The apartment was indeed small, a studio with exposed brick walls and 2 white-cased windows. Through them he could see a fire escape, and then, across the street, a tiled roof. The latch on the right window had broken. Foolish man, he thought as he watched Paul hop on one foot to take off a boot. Let a monster in the front door? Invite a robber through the window? How are you still alive? He surveyed the rest of Paul's home. An open door revealed a small bathroom. The opposite wall contained a 2-burner stove, a sink, and a half-sized refrigerator. A wooden cafe table sat with 2 mismatched chairs. A futon couch along another wall likely served as Paul's bed. Next to it was a milk crate on which sat a tiny Christmas tree, wrapped in blue and yellow lights. A few small ornaments dangled from its boughs, though no presents rested underneath. That struck Taviano as sad, given the work Paul had gone through to gather gifts for the homeless youths. A distinct combination of smells tickled his nose from the area of the futon. Besides Paul's unique scent, there were echoes of other men. Different colognes or bathing products. Latex, foil, something oily, and then... Taviano turned away as he identified traces of semen. The turmoil in his chest that the evidence of Paul's life produced disturbed him. If he could blush, he would. Paul finished with his boots and socks and tugged off his bloodied t-shirt. Tossing the garments in a heap on the floor, he strode to the sink. Dressed only in low-slung corduroys, he turned on the faucet and began to scrub away dried blood on his shoulder and palm. Taviano took in the sight of lean muscle, flexing under pale skin as Paul washed. That skin reminded him of cream. A tattoo of a tree adorned Paul's back. Its delicately drawn branches spread to his shoulders. The twisted and sturdy trunk disappeared into the mistletoe-themed boxers resting low on his hips. One side of the tree showed a splintered stump, as if someone had wrenched off a branch. Although curious about the imagery, Taviano wondered more how that inked skin would feel under his lips. Then he wondered why he wondered. His demon's hunger for blood drove him for such long years, he'd all but forgotten what it was like to hunger for touch. Year after year, he hunted with a singular purpose, among people useful to him only as food. Yet he found himself imagining what it would be like to draw Paul against his body. The warmth would be delicious. Soothing. It reminded Taviano of the difference between appetite and attraction. He found the thought both sobering and exciting. Twice, many decades ago, and before he began to hunt exclusively among villains, he'd given in to curiosity. He'd caressed a willing man with his sensitive fingertips, and even allowed him to stroke Taviano with lust. Both times, the sensation was too intense to be pleasurable. It had been like dragging woolen cloth over a sunburn. Neither encounter had smelled like Paul, though. Would the taste of his skin be as unique as his scent? Would his body be warm and welcoming? Why should just one man out of the multitudes he'd encountered draw him so profoundly and calm his demon? If he touched Paul once, Taviano wasn't sure he'd want to stop. Paul turned from the sink to grab a hand towel and caught Taviano staring at him. Another tattoo, of a sun rising above a mountain range, sprawled down his left pectoral. He stilled, but made no effort to cover his hair-dusted and spare torso. Instead, he stood silently as Taviano studied him. His eyes caressed the alabaster planes of Paul's chest, the sinewy shoulders and elegantly tapered arms. He admired the tight skin at Paul's stomach, the tracing of fine hair that disappeared down into his boxers. Paul began to breathe more heavily under the scrutiny, and his pants tinted outward. Taviano smelled arousal, and it echoed in his own belly. Finally, Paul swiped the cloth against his shoulder and dried his hands while holding Taviano's eyes. He licked his lips and flushed. In a slightly hoarse voice, he asked, "Did I get it all?" As if drawn by a magnet, Taviano stepped closer, hearing Paul's heart beat faster at his approach. His body glistened in the dim light of the room. Taviano sensed no fear as he took another step and peered at Paul's shoulder. He brushed trembling fingertips over clean, white skin and murmured, "It looks perfect." Thankfully, his face couldn't blush and his heart couldn't pound. He was sure he'd be a sight to behold otherwise. The desire to touch, to stroke, was difficult to hide from Paul and from himself. Paul stood mere inches away. His coursing, rich blood generated warmth that called to Taviano. For once, it had nothing to do with his demon's clamor for food. The blood beast remained strangely quiet, drifting in his belly and mind, but asleep. With that awareness, Taviano finally had to admit that the yearning he felt was entirely his own. Paul's lips parted, and his nostrils flared as he met Taviano's gaze. His pupils were wide and black. Heat rose from his groin, where he was hard, and Taviano smelled pre-cum leaking. "Just touch him. It isn't like Naples. No one will punish us." Yet he couldn't move into the caress he wanted desperately. Perhaps Paul saw the struggle in his eyes, or was simply less afraid. "You are seriously beautiful," he whispered. He moved closer and tilted his head slightly. "Can I kiss you?" Taviano swallowed, then nodded sharply. Paul slid one hand up his waist and raised the other to curl around his neck. He gently tugged Taviano forward until their lips met. The sweetness and warmth of Paul's mouth threatened to undo him. He felt every minute crease in the cold, chapped lips, but the movement against his own was light and careful. He tensed for discomfort from the strokes of Paul's hand over his skin or the press of his mouth. It never came. The gentleness with which Paul embraced him was a balm. Fingers combed through the hair at the base of Taviano's neck before sliding to grip the back of his skull. The boy Taviano had been still fretted in his memories, All the teachings of his youth had warned that his desires were shameful. His angry father had beaten that lesson into his back. Then, ever since he'd turned, his humanity had served only his demon. His body was merely a vessel to give it agency. His limbs had power in order to subdue prey. He hunted, cornered, grasped, pierced, and drank to keep it fed. He was a devil. If he ever yearned for the things he'd discovered with Calogero, their loss was necessary. It was only proper that he suffer. Paul's hands and his hair, though. The intimacy sent a shiver through Taviano. He'd missed so much over the long years. The world had changed, and what it forbade in his youth was common in the current era. Common, perhaps, but still special. Drawing strength from Paul's touch, Taviano resolved to fight his doubts and kissed back with growing passion. When Paul sighed with pleasure, his breath tasted of peppermint. Taviano smiled. Paul had licked one of the candy canes he bought for the shelter. "I'm actually doing this," he thought with wonder. "Touching instead of taking. Kissing instead of drinking." Doubt faded away. The feeling that replaced it, that bubbled through his chest, had been absent for so long he almost didn't recognize it. He was happy. Stirred by the unfamiliar emotion, he wrapped his arms securely around Paul. He was careful of the fragile body he held. Paul's erection pressed against his hip, and Taviano permitted himself to strive for more connection. A memory of explorations with Calogero occurred to him. He darted a lick across the seam of Paul's mouth. Paul opened to let him inside, and a thrill ran through him all over again. Their tongues met and danced and explored. Paul was eager and passionate. The more Taviano responded, the higher he drove the embrace. Their bodies moved together. The rustle of Taviano's black shirt against bare skin sounded, to his vampire ears, like raven wings. Paul's hard shaft pressing against him brought back other things that had been similarly forbidden. Maybe, he mused, they could go even further than kissing. He splayed a hand on Paul's bare back and traced lightly over the tree formed of ink, its texture guiding his sensitive fingers. Paul arched at the exploration. Goose flesh broke out under Taviano's touch. Nipples hardened to firm points against Taviano's chest as Paul deepened their kiss in response. He slid his tongue between Taviano's lower gum and the teeth there, then pressed it flat against the roof of his mouth. He glided to the right, reaching the eye tooth. Paul jerked his head away and held a hand against his mouth. The saucer eyes were back, and his heart became a jackhammer. "You aren't a ninja, are you?" he demanded on a shaky exhale. "Oh no, please, not yet." Taviano should have known that discovery was inevitable, but still he wasn't ready. The simple pleasure of conversing with a man, of exploring an attraction, of kissing. He had no idea how much he'd long for all that until Paul gave it to him and then took it away. He wanted to weep suddenly, but instead he steeled against regret. What he desired was for the humans. He had no business there, no right to sully Paul with his devilish presence. Paul would scream or run, no doubt. He dropped his hands, preparing to let the night become no more than a fond recollection to keep him company in years to come. "It's time to deal with Paul's memories anyway," he thought wretchedly, establishing as much distance as he could. Yet before he could pull away, Paul clutched at his waist as if to keep him from bolting. Taviano still felt Paul's hard member against his thigh. Whether from naivete or the thrill of danger, Paul clung to the fiend he'd let into his home. A small tingle of hope lit up Taviano's chest. Perhaps it didn't have to end so quickly after all. He quirked an eyebrow and tried on a grin. "No, not the ninja. Tell him. Let him choose." Every part of Taviano's brain screamed that it was a terrible idea, but he asked, "Do you want to know?" Paul swallowed hard, but nodded. Made brave by the hand around his waist, Taviano leaned closer. He brushed his lips back and forth against Paul's cheek, and readied to say what he'd never before spoken aloud. Paul's heart thundered in his chest. The rush of blood made his long, hard cock pulse between them. Taviano whispered a word into his ear. "Vampire."